Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
For 40 days, okay? All right. We've been going through the Gospel of Luke in our series, Eyewitness. This has been really good. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So if nothing else, thank you I've really enjoyed going through this. And the Gospel of Luke, if those of you who haven't been with us, you're welcome to catch up. But we kind of looked at this is kind of like a documentary. It's like Luke, who was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. Had encountered all of these individuals who had eyewitness accounts of Jesus. They heard Jesus' teaching. They were healed by Jesus. They had encountered interactions with Jesus and Pharisees. And so Luke goes around and he gathers these eyewitness, these firsthand accounts, and he brings them together. And he's talking about the church and the beginnings of the church. And he writes these in two volumes to this man called Theophilus. It's what we know as the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And so the book of Luke is really wonderful. And why he did this is to give an orderly account to this Roman official named Theophilus. And it was to help clear up some misunderstanding that many in the Roman leadership had about Christianity. Christianity, again, was monotheistic. So as to why. The Roman culture was polytheistic. They had many gods, many altars, many idols that they worshipped. The Roman Empire, as they expanded, they would conquer cultures, and many times they would allow them to continue to participate. They would absorb the other cultures into their own. And so they allowed the Jews to continue to worship, but they had to pay a tax. And as Christ came, as the fulfillment of God's promises to send a Messiah, this caused a lot of strife. Okay? Some historians point out that in a way, the followers of Jesus were considered by some in parts of Rome as kind of quasi-atheistic because they were telling the Roman individuals who converted not to worship other gods, not to worship these altars, but there was one true God. And then Jesus came and backed it up by healing people, by performing many miracles, which is amazing. So the Jews accused the followers of Jesus for heresy and Jesus of being a heretic for his claims of being the Messiah. And this led to an uproar and disturbances that caught the Roman authorities' attention. Luke was relaying eyewitness accounts to his acquaintance Theophilus, saying, look, I need to give you the facts. How many of you are tired of fake news and you want the facts, right? Okay, you want to know, I want to cut through all the slant. I want to know what actually is going on. I'm going to tell you, Jesus knows. And Theophilus is saying, I'm going to tell you the words that he said, individuals who heard them, the effects that they had on their life, people who were blind, who had their sight restored, dead people raised back to life. I mean, this is who the Messiah was prophesied to be, and this is what Jesus was. He was letting Theophilus know Jesus was not a heretic. He was not a madman. He wasn't a political revolutionary. He wasn't someone seeking fame. Rather, he was, in fact, who he claimed to be, the Son of God. And as we discussed last week, Jesus wasn't seeking earthly fame, but rather to fulfill a heavenly purpose. So today we're going to move ahead with a few more thoughts about this wonderful gospel account of Jesus and what it means to us today. We left off last week with Jesus calling a tax collector. Boo! I know we're getting close to tax day, and maybe you're like me and you're gathering stuff together to do that, and it kind of irks you. But Jesus called the tax people those tax collectors, these traitors, to follow him, and then had a meal with them, which really upset the religious people of the time and drew the ire of them. And that's where we pick up today after this dinner. Luke 5, 33 through 39. And they said to him, these are the individuals who upset about Jesus and his interaction with these people. It says the disciples of John fast often and offer prayers. And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours eat and drink. Here's what that sounds like. You know this. There's another church in town and they do this. You're not doing that. You ever had the comparison given to you? Why can't you be more like your brother or sister? Hey, you know what? There's this other group and they're doing this and you're doing this, okay? They're kind of doing this comparison. And Jesus responds and says, hey, can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them and they will fast in those days. In this confrontation, the religious leaders of the time are accusing Jesus' followers of their lack of religious piety. Ha! This is what's the irony. Everyone else is somber and fasting and you're eating and celebrating. Why? I'm going to jump right into my 3 points today. Some of you, that's going to make really happy. Point number one is this. There is joy in a relationship with Jesus. There is joy in a relationship. Why? I mean, the unlovable are loved. Think about the tax collectors who are, you know, off of everyone's Christmas card list. Nope, Jesus went to them. The societal rejects, the ones who are passed over, Jesus let them know you are loved. The lost are found. Sinners are saved. Those who struggle and for meaning in their life are given a purpose. Hear me. Jesus says that you matter. Maybe everyone in your life didn't convey that message to you, but I want you to know that Jesus says you matter. God says you matter. And this is how much that he sent that which was most precious that he had to pay the price for our salvation. Jesus is the expression of God's love for us. And when we consider Jesus, we understand how great the Father's love for us. How vast, beyond all measure. Why do we have joy? I tell you, one of the things that irks me a whole lot is to see pickle-faced Christians. You know what I mean. Just pickle face. Walk into a church. You're sitting in my seat. You wore that to church? Wow, that person's really loud and obnoxious. You know, think about this, gang. I mean, do we have happy customers? And the truth is, a lot of us, I have a joke with I have a daughter, and she sometimes, her just natural expression is just sometimes, and I give her a hard time about it. I'm like, are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm fine. It's like, you don't look like you're okay. She's like, that's my face. Leave it alone. And so we have this kind of joke. We all joke about it. Our whole family. It's not Ellie. So now I kind of blew it. There we go. So, no, we've got this thing. We have this long joke and I'm like, yeah, it's this thing. But and the bottom line is for us, we have to understand we've been saved. And sometimes I look at us and think, you're so angry. What? Do you not remember that your salvation has been purchased by God? We forget that. It's like the kid throwing a fit in Disneyland. You're at Disneyland, you idiot. Yes, Casey, I called them idiots. Okay. Have we forgotten this? We've been given new life. Listen, and then I love what Jesus says after this. Oh, I love this. I love this. I love this. Luke 5:33-39, verse 36. He told them, he also told them a parable. So when he says he also means that he's tying this into what he just said. He just said, look, okay, the bridegroom's here. Now, these other individuals are all pious and somber and blah, blah, blah. And so here's related to the fact that the bridegroom is with us. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new. And the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one, okay, let's just pause right there. In other words, don't add religion to your old life. We are offered a new life in Jesus. And this new life, everybody say new life, It cannot be contained in your old one. It is incompatible. Let's all just say incompatible. Incompatible. Your new life that Christ offers you is incompatible with your old one. Thus is the problem that we see with so many individuals is they're trying to hold on to their old life and resisting the new life that Christ offers us. God didn't come to add just some religious actions to us. And many people don't have joy because they haven't let go of their old life. And you can't find eternal joy and eternal peace and eternal contentment looking for it in your old life. Remember that old song, looking for love in all the long places. That's my country voice. It's as good as it gets. That's a country song. It sounds like a country song. There's a dog in a pickup truck, I'm sure, in there somewhere. It cannot be compared. Verse 37. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled. No wonder your face is so angry. You have spiritual indigestion. It ain't happening, gang. Verse 38. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. Gang, Christ wants to give us a new life. And I'll admit, man, sometimes that's a transition. I gotta tell you, when I really began to understand to submit my life to Christ, I went back and the people who I knew literally didn't recognize me. I mean, I'm serious. I had people coming up and saying, hey, and I'd introduce myself and they're like, I did. That is the difference. And again, it's a process and continue. There's change that happens. Change. And no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good. And that's an interesting thing because if you look, he just did a switch here. He's talking about how great new wine is and now he flips it. Most people read right through that and didn't see the flip that Jesus did. In other words, this wasn't a new plan. This was God's original plan from the very beginning. All right. That's kind of a cool thing. Some people forget the joy of our salvation. We were once dead in sin and now we're made alive in Christ. So if you think, what's got the preacher all wound up when he's playing his guitar? Oh, your grace so free washes over me. Man, I'm excited about that. And I wish you were as well because it's of all the things in your life, that's something to be excited about. If you want something to put forth energy in, it's about eternity, baby. That's what it is. Not in our righteousness are we approved in God's sight, but in the righteousness of Christ. And that's the joy of our salvation. I got to ask you the question. Have you lost the joy of your salvation? If the question is yes, I want you to go back to the cross. And if you say, I've never really had it, I want to have a conversation with you because eternity is at stake. Luke 6:1-5. Going on. He says, on a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how they entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any, but the priest to eat. And he also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, the Son of the Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's referring to this time where David was fleeing for his life. And he came in to the priest and his men were famished. And they took and they ate of the showbread, which, by the way, was cooked on the Sabbath. Ha! And they passed it out, and this was only for the priest to eat. And here they did this. What is this about, gang? Religious folks, again, were upset with the followers of Jesus, and they were getting ticky with them about plucking grain as they walked and ate, seeming to break the law of Moses. It's interesting how Jesus responds to the Pharisees. They were more focused on the rules than people's needs, let alone relationship with God. The irony is the disciples were walking and fellowshipping with God at that very moment. And those who were supposed to be waiting for the Messiah missed him Why? Because they were so focused on the rules. They were so focused on the law. Gang, when I was in Cuba, and again, some of you get tired of hearing my Cuba stories, but I got another one. We had this extensive tour of Havana. It was a really beautiful tour, wonderful tour. And we had a tour guide. And the tour guide was a lovely young lady. She actually reminded me of my oldest daughter. And I was like, okay. And in fact, I took a picture out and I was like, hey, look, you know, you could be my daughter. And, you know, part of the reason that she was there was to show us, don't take a picture of this. You'll get arrested, or don't do that. There are some do's and don'ts. There are some places that you don't go. There are some things you don't do. And so she was there to tell us, don't do this, don't do that. And I was more interested in kind of getting to know her and know her story. And we had this connection. And so we started talking. And as I began to talk to her, she was asking about my family as I showed her a picture of my daughter. And I asked about her family. And she's like, I kind of miss my family. They're in Miami. And I'd like to be in Miami, but I'm stuck here. And I hope someday to be able to go to America. And we had a conversation. And then as people went and she said, here, go here. I kind of went aside and said, so, What do you like to do when you're here? And she's like, oh, well, I like to eat at this place. It's not a tourist trap. In fact, there's just more. And I like to eat. And all of a sudden, because I developed relationship with this individual, I had a totally different experience. It wasn't all about do's and don'ts. It was about, I got to know who the tour guide. I want you to know, you got a tour guide through life that you can get to know. And so many of us are focused on the do's and the don'ts that we forget that we can have relationship with him. Jesus points to something powerful. He calls himself the Son of Man. Another reference to the fact that he was the Messiah, and the religious leaders understood it. They were using the law to condemn and to control by fear, to reinforce their place of power between God and his children, and Jesus wasn't having any of it. He came not to throw the law out, but to fulfill the law and break down the barrier between man and God. And so my second point for us today is there is joy in the fact that Christ is greater than the law. And this is incompatible, because a lot of us, this is your thoughts of what it means to be a Christian. I follow the Ten Commandments. By the way, it wasn't just ten. You had ten that were given and written on the tablets, and then that evolved to 613. And we were never to be right in God's eyes because of that. Jesus is greater than the law. It's not that we are now lawbreakers. It's that we're not made right in God's sight because of our following the law or because of our actions. And you, my brothers and sisters, you should have great joy in the fact that you've been delivered from the law. The law is not evil. It lets us know of our need and our dependence upon God. It's an error to say that we're free from the law so that we can live carnally, as some folks do, but rather we are free from the law that makes us right. We are now at liberty to be led by God's Spirit. Romans 8, 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul takes up this topic and says, let's all read this together, church. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Woohoo! For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Gang, we now have the option. We can receive God's Spirit. And by the way, for those people who are like, I'm so glad I'm delivered from the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The grace says, thou shall. All the law summed up in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is more than do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not, you know, that. Loving people is a whole lot more than saying, don't hurt them. People's like, oh, I've been delivered from the law. Now I don't have to do that. No, no. Now our requirement is more. We give our entire life in service to Christ, and He gives us eternal joy. That's a good trade. That's a wonderful trade. You should have joy about that trade. I mean, think about the Jewish Shema. We begin the day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And Jesus fulfills it, takes us another step farther by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in Luke, right after this encounter, talking about the Sabbath, Jesus pushes the point by healing a man on the Sabbath. And yep, the Pharisees get upset about it. I've told you the story that me as a young youth minister in Virginia, I had a youth group, and one night we had a lock-in, and we were doing a game, and a kid broke one of the stained glass windows, and I was getting my resume ready. Because I thought it was going to be like that. You done did it. You broke one of our sacred rules. I'll never forget, there's a guy named Wayne Briggs, and he said, I'm just glad we got kids in here to break it. You keep going. You know what, gang? The Spirit is a walking in the Spirit is a fantastic thing. And so Luke relays about this incident to Theophilus, and he lets him know Jesus' motive. He was doing good. He was not making a scene. He was not being a blasphemer. He was not being heretical, but he was showing God's true intent to redeem mankind and to fill all that was prophesied about the Messiah and demonstrate His power on earth. Gang, we can have joy that we have a relationship with Jesus. We could have joy that we've been delivered through the law through Christ, and now Jesus lets us know that we can be blessed, happy, and approved. Look at go on to Luke 6, 20 through 23. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. Okay, so he's talking to his disciples now, and he said, blessed. In other words, this word means happy or approved. Okay, happy are you who are poor. I miss you. Jesus, are you hangry? What's going on? Happy are your poor? And he goes on, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now. Now notice he says the word now. Okay? So if we're trying to understand, he's not talking about this condition. He's saying that there is a difference between now and then. In other words, you're going to have some seasons that are difficult now. This hunger is not just a spiritual, is not just a physical hunger, it's a spiritual hunger. This weeping is not just a physical weeping, it's a spiritual weeping. This poorness is not just a lack of monetary thing, it's an understanding that we go without a little now and we're gonna have something more later. Verse 22 brings it into focus. These are related. Jesus went on to say, this is what it means. Blessed are you, happy are you, approved are you when people hate you. What? People are gonna hate me?
Yep.
And when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil. How many of you have ever been talked about poorly and it makes you sad? Anybody ever had I've had lies spread about me throughout my entire life and it hurts. I've had people say things and accuse things. I've had all kinds of stuff going around. I remember one time my niece came to stay with us. And next thing you know, a rumor went around, before we moved to Pittsfield, and a rumor went around, oh, that I had a child that no one knew about and blah, blah, blah. And oh, this is blah, 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 blah. Okay. People talk. Now here's the deal. Many of us get talked about poorly, and sometimes we're talked about poorly because we're jerks. Ever been a jerk? Have you ever let your mouth get your rear in trouble? That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus isn't saying, hey, you know what? If it's rough now, it's going to be better if it's rough now because you're kind of mean to people. Nope, 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 nope. He says, people are going to hate you. They're going to exclude you. They're going to revile you. They're going to spurn your name as evil. On account of me. He uses Son of Man, which is reference to Him being the Messiah. He says, look, if you follow me, It's going to be incongruent with the world. It's not going to line up with the world. If you want to know if you're following Christ, you're going to have some friction with this world, honey. And here's what he says to that. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, and behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. Does that sound like a good list? So here's the bottom line. Our third and final point today. We can have an eternal joy that transcends our present circumstances. This ain't it, gang. If you lock into following Christ, through Christ, we have an eternal kingdom. No matter how tough this world gets, we are not alone, for He is with us every step of the way. He will satisfy us with living water, for He is the bread of life. Our worldly troubles are only temporary. In fact, we're warned not to put our hope in this world. Hear me as we conclude our message with these two verses, these three verses, verse 24. But let's all read this together. But woe to you who are rich. Everybody read it and at home. Ready? But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Ouch. Popular message here today, isn't it? I just got off all your Christmas cards list. That's okay. Pastor, why are you saying things like this? I'm telling you this. Many of us are so focused on now that we forgot that there's an eternity. And so many of us are so focused on being happy now that we give no mind to eternity. I'm telling you, this world is not headed for a good place. This world is headed towards destruction. As Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction. And he compares and he contrasts that with narrow is the way that leads to salvation, and few will find it. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you would know that Jesus lets us know that we have an eternal kingdom. And how many of you have ever been to Texas Roadhouse? Oh, now you did it. You talked about food and it's like 5 till. It's like 10 till and you talked about food. Oh, you like Texas Roadhouse? What's your favorite thing at Texas Roadhouse? The food, yes. What's the first thing they give you when you go there, hon? The rolls. How many of you fill up on the rolls and then the food comes and you're full? Because the steak is never going to be as good as when they bring it out, is it? Quit filling up on the rolls. You're right. Here she said, you better wait for the real food. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm not saying at all that God wants us to be miserable here. I'm saying that we have to keep an eternal focus. Don't get so concerned with worldly things that we forget our eternal being. And Jesus lets us know, and Charlotte, you can come up. Jesus lets us know that, in fact, we can store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We have joy in this world, even though we're going to be hungry and we're going to be talked about and it's going to be difficult. There are struggles in this world. Don't be so focused on alleviating those struggles that come because we faithfully follow Christ. Rather, be all the more motivated to have joy in the midst of these difficult times, because all that is lost is going to be restored. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Stand to your feet.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.